Aloha, everybody, and welcome to Aquarian Radio at AquarianRadio.com. And I'm your host, Janet Kier Lesson, with my co-host, Dr. Sasha Lesson. And today we have a special guest. Her name is Jamie, and she is a Anunnaki Nephilim Rh negative blood researcher. And I'm going to get her on in just a minute here. I'm going to have to call her from the back end here, but let me read this. After much soul searching and a lifetime of feeling different, I finally made a connection between my behavior, my biology, and my blood. What I thought was a lifetime curse turned out to be an absolute blessing. I am different because I was gifted with Rh negative blood. Only 15% of the world's population has inherited this protein in the blood, and 47 years later, I have finally come to terms with who I truly am, but there is much more work and research to be conducted on the Rh factor. The scientific community, archaeologists, and scholars alike are racing, racing to find the answers to the mystery. It is questioned by many that the inheritance of Rh negative blood protein is the bloodline of the gods, the Nephilim of the Bible, to be precise, the apparent bloodline of every royal family in existence since the beginning of time, and hence their staunch stance on purebred Rh blue blood. So we're going to be talking about this with Jamie. Sasha, will you please begin talking while I get Jamie on the phone?
Begin doing what, Janet?
Dialoguing, talking to our wonderful listeners that are here. So give us a little what you know and while I get Jamie on the phone here. About the Nephilim and the Anunnaki and the theory of the royals and the blue bloods. And she'll be on just a minute. But can you turn up your the volume? I think you're – well, let me try turning up here, but you're a little bit low on my end. Okay, go ahead. Talk so I can see. No, that's okay. I think you're fine. There's that little dangle thing that you can adjust the volume up or down.
I'm only hearing you in the telephone.
That's where we are. But we're on the telephone.
Let's see if I take
Don't
the earphones off.
It.
I can. Now I can hear you much
Don't
better
worry.
Without the earphones.
Okay, fine. Okay. So go ahead and talk, honey. We're wasting airtime, and the listeners are listening to us without earphones.
I think what I'm going to talk about is why there are different blood groups among the human population. And humans have been hybridized from the get-go, really long ago, way before the Anunnaki came even. There had been a war between the Atlans and the Lemurians, the people that had lived in Atlantis and Lemuria. And
okay, I've got my guest, so let's not go into that right this second. Let me get the guest on, and then we'll start with the Rh negative bloodline discussion. Okay, hold on 1 second, please, while I click her on.
T, S is in Sam, T is in Charlie, H is in Harry, ALL@gmail.com. Thank you.
Okay.
At the tone. Please record your message.
I'm
when you have finished recording,
person.
You may hang
okay,
up or
hang
press
up.
1 for more options.
Okay, go ahead and talk about your story, and I will see what I can do about getting her online. I'm going to text her.
Do you want me to talk, Janet, or do you want her to talk?
Yes, now? Please, because I can't do two things at once.
What I was trying before to say is that the early settlers of the planet Earth, after the its first two continents, Lemuria and Atlantis, came up, were the reptilians on Lemuria, who were about a million years before the Lyran humanoids, who settled Atlantis. And through a whole series of wars and settlements by other Lyran refugees, the Council of Hatona in the Andromeda group was held, and they decided that they would make a hybrid that could deal with this new planet and all the vigors that it had. They made contributions from 12 humanoid groups and one reptilian group to make the basic proto-human from which most of us came. And this proto-human then was farmed out and trained in different areas. The reptilians chose to genetically engineer the brain stem so that our reflexes were for survival and fight or flight and that sort of thing. And when the Anunnaki came, and the Anunnaki were Lyrans whose original planet got wiped out. They had fled to the Pleiades and eventually settled around a Sirius C, which went Nova. There's a whole series of things that happened on the planet Nibiru.
Let me pause that right there, and then we'll continue this. We're going to get our guest on because she has a very short time. She has other things she has to do today. So hold on 1 second, and then we'll go back into that after we get her information. Okay. Aloha, Jamie. Welcome to the
Aloha.
Show.
Aloha.
Hey, you're coming in loud and clear. Okay, we're on with Janet Lesson and Dr. Sasha Alec Lesson, and welcome to our show, Jamie. So
Thank you. You had contacted us
on Facebook, I guess, in one of our discussions. You have information about the Rh negative bloodlines. Go ahead and tell us your story.
I don't know if I have information on the Rh negative bloodline other than my own, and I guess what I've researched. I'm not an expert. I don't claim to be. I only know from what I've experienced throughout my lifetime. And since I was a child, I guess I have always known that I was different. I had many experiences throughout my life with people that I always felt different. But things really started turning for me with the understanding of what was going on about a decade after I had my children, and I started I started watching Ancient Aliens, funny enough, and they started discussing the Rh factor, and that's probably when the light bulb really went off, when I made the connection. I started to do research about the Rh factor. And I am Rh negative. And when you have a baby, when you're pregnant with a child and you're Rh negative, they have to give you a shot or shots of Rogam, because we, Rh negative, who are only 15% of the world's population, will reject a fetus that is not also Rh negative. And if we don't have this shot of Rogam, the fetus will abort naturally. And I just kept digging into it. And I've always had quirky traits. I was always a researcher and always had knowledge that other people didn't have and couldn't understand. They couldn't connect with me necessarily when they got maybe closer or more deeply connected with me. I was on another level always. And I always thought that there was something wrong with me. Since researching the Rh factor, I realized that this is a blessing and not a curse, and it's time that I embrace this and try to help the community researching to get to the bottom of what this is. The more that I've read about the Rh factor, the more I realized that, you know, scientists and archaeologists and scholars have been doing more research on this, and they are linking this or trying to link this with the Nephilim, the which is like the gods of the Bible. I think that they were the offspring of what is supposed to be the Anunnaki, right, who came here,
right,
supposedly from the planet Nibiru. And they, what happened? They maybe they mated with the earthling women. And so that bloodline, I believe, is what passed down for generations to generations. And those were the lines that were all of the royalty from that beginning of time. And even to this day, it is said that, you know, that's why you always hear about, let's say, the British royal family were very connected with, and you always hear about how blue bloods and how they have this certain lineage and they can't marry outside of that different bloodline. Well, the more I read about it, the more I just couldn't believe what I was reading, that they're all Rh negative. And, it's, you know, it just got incredible to me. And
yes, I understand. There's a lot of articles and YouTubes out there about the Rh negative blood. Let me just fill this in a little bit. There's an article from secretsofthefed.com. Yeah, so let me just give a little background. Scientists suggest that humans with blood type Rh negative belong to an extraterrestrial lineage. They have four general blood types. Humans have four general blood types, A, B, AB, and O. And so the article goes into how this is derived. And that most people are Rh positive, and the Rh negative lacks these proteins. And so the theory is that in the distant past, extraterrestrial beings visited the Earth, and through genetic manipulation, on the Rh negative factor, they had the intention of creating a race of slaves. But anyway, Dr. Lesson, what would you like to say about this? We've been researching this ourselves. I am Rh negative, you're Rh negative, so you have different characteristics and qualities. Sasha, what would you like to say or ask our guest, Jamie? And then I'll continue to find the relevant things in these articles.
Okay.
Go ahead,
hi, aloha. What the Sumerians got as dictation from the extraterrestrials that had genetically created them. And this is the story they said, be it true or not, that about 300,000 BCE, the miners from Nibiru had come to the south of Africa to mine. To get gold, to refine to monoatomic gold and send back to Nibiru, which is in our solar system, came through then every 3,600 years, to get gold and float it up in the atmosphere and so forth. And their miners were mutinying, and they probably were put up to the mutiny by the geneticist, the chief scientist, Enki, who then said, hey, send them home. They've been working in the gold mines too long. I'll just take some of these descendants of Homo erectus. Homo erectus was Bigfoot's ancestor. That the earlier ETs who I talked about before you came on had already seeded all over the earth. So they were here. These are Bigfoot's an intelligent being who communicates telepathically and so forth. So the Nibirans decided they would adapt their genome to this planet using some Homo erectus genes, some copper and some clay. And so they created the first a bunch of us humans. First they cloned the Adamu, Adam. Some 100 years later, they created Tiamat, the first female. And the boss heard about this back in Iraq and had these kids sent to him, and their foster parents, the geneticist and his team came up there because the boss took their kids, but the little girl was, they had educated her, and she spoke right up to the boss and Leo Yahweh and get these creatures out of here. You're not supposed to have made them fertile. and so forth. So anyway, it went on like that. And then when times got tough, most of the slaves just ran off and made their own lives instead of working for the Anunnaki. And so 200,000 years ago, the boss put pressure on the chief scientist, hey, make smarter slaves that are smarter, you know, that obey us. That's what we mean by smarter, not run off. So Enki, the way Enki did, he made smarter slaves 200,000 years ago, and he got two pretty girls among the Earthlings, and he made babies directly with them, okay? And those babies were Titi and Adapa. Those are the second Adam and Eve. And he went and had a kid with Titi also. The chief scientist had another kid, Cain, with her. Anyway, so we have these different lines of people. And the way royals think is that they think because you're closer to some line or other, you're a better person and your light should shine better, and they're hierarchic in thinking. They think you're supposed to boss everybody else. That's the basic mistake of these people, that because you're royal or in some kind of certain bloodline, that you have the right to boss other people. Well, the reality is that everybody has a light to shine. And so we are caught in this matrix of thinking that people with certain bloodlines are better than people that don't have those bloodlines, and that is exactly part of the way we enslave ourselves. But I digress. Let me toss the ball back to my boss, who's named Janet.
Right. So, anyway, you know, this whole royal thing, so what does it mean to be royal? Well, it's supposed to be descendants of the Anunnaki, and the descendants of the Anunnaki that have this Rh-negative bloodline. So what the article continues to say is that the Rh-negative strain is characteristic of the British royal family, and I think that, Jamie, you sent us a... a link with the different people, and it has several of the royals in there, Elizabeth and her husband and a bunch of other ones. So what do you know about this part of the puzzle?
About the royal part of the puzzle?
About the royal part. Have you done any? How about I just toss it back to you? What would you like to add to the conversation?
Well, honestly, I think one of the very strong characteristics of an Rh negative person is intuition, which is something that I have had, that I have, that is extremely strong, that I've had since I'm a child. I have been able to predict future things. I notice that I predict patterns. Like patterns in the weather, patterns in cards, like gaming, for example. I could sit down, let's say, to a hand of blackjack, and I don't want to call it reading cards, but I can see a pattern of what's being put out in front of me, and I go home with lots of money. I have this intuition. It's like something that I can channel that has been pretty amazing. I predicted 9/11 was going to happen. My husband and I were both working in Manhattan, and my husband would take the subway from Jersey City to Manhattan every day, and he would take it right from in front of the Twin Towers, under the Twin Towers, and I would beg him on a daily basis, and even sometimes to tears, saying, don't go there, you know, those buildings are not going to be there forever, those lunatics are going to come back, and those buildings are going to be gone, don't go in there, and I swear on my life about this, I would beg him to no end, and, you know, lo and behold, look what happened. There's many things. There's many things that I have been able to predict. You know, like I can feel things. I really believe in this planet that you're talking about, Nibiru. that the Sumerians left for us, the information about. And then Zachariah Sitchin, right, wrote about it. He translated the Sumerian text. And I believe he went to Nassau, right, and brought his findings to them. And now what do you know? All of a sudden, Nassau, all you hear them talking about is now they called Nibiru Planet 12 in the ancient times. But now, if I'm not mistaken, NASA is calling it Planet 9. And back in Sumerian times, in Sumerian times, they called it 12 because they was part of our solar system. And so they also considered the sun and moon to be part of the solar system, with all the others making that 12. Well, now Pluto is not included. It's now considered a dwarf planet, right?
Right. They demoted Pluto.
Demoted it.
Poor guy.
We don't consider the moon and sun to be a planet. So that makes this planet that they are sensing a gravitational pull from, an exoplanet that is supposed to be like 10 times the size of Earth. It's creating a wobble of all of these exoplanets, and they know it's there because they can feel it, but they can't quite see it yet. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the same elliptical pattern as was described by the ancient Sumerians.
Well, the problem is the report, I just want to add to that. You know, you said they can't quite see it yet. If they could be cloaking it, or it could be cloaked. It could be the government cover-up. It could be the Anunnaki who don't want to be seen. I mean, there's all kinds of technologies. Dr. Lessig, can you address the issue of where is Nibiru?
Yeah, so one of the things that may be coming in might be the twin star, which is only visible in the infrared, known as Nemesis, because Nibiru goes around this dual star system, goes all the way around Nemesis, which is it has its own heat, but it's not as bright enough to show. And Harrington was probably assassinated when he confirmed that there's these bodies outside that are putting this pressure. But one of the planets that goes around Nemesis, and Nibiru never goes around Solaris. It passes between Mars and Jupiter. And there's two different elements that get disturbed in this whatever's happening out there. First, Nibiru probably has already passed through or is passing through, is visible at dawn and dusk. It's the second sun. It's there, and you can see little moons going around it and so forth. It didn't cause any harm. There's a number of reasons why it didn't cause any harm, but there's this other body that's coming out, and it's a very complicated cosmology, and it's gone way beyond what's getting reported in the popular press. But there's two sets of asteroids. There's the Kuiper Belt, where an ancient planet named Maldek was blown to pieces. And there's a second group of asteroids where Tiamat, was the proto-Earth, was struck by Nibiru as it came in and by its moons and knocked into its current place between Venus and Mars. So
and Earth
pretty,
is part of Tiamat, right? It's a piece of Tiamat.
It's the body. It's the big, the main part. And where the gouge hit was where the Pacific Basin was formed. And, of course, that's later where the Lemuria arose.
Right. Well, and my mention of this is because I, for many years, have been able to sense this weather pattern that is repetitive and that is getting worse. And my intuition says it's not, and whether you believe in this or not, my intuition does not say that it's global warming, but it does say that it's climate change, for sure.
Yeah.
Our climate is changing. There is no question about it. And I believe that it's because of this gravitational pull that it's also affecting us, and it's creating an upset in the atmosphere and in the Earth's crust. And that's why we're seeing, all of a sudden, we're seeing these, you know, little by little each year, but they're getting worse and worse, hurricanes. And, you know, we're hearing about volcanic eruptions, and we're hearing about earthquakes in the most odd places, like Delaware in the States. Had one recently.
Right.
Really unfathomable things. And we just had this snowstorm that was a bomb cyclone. When have you ever heard that term in your lifetime? This is not a coincidence to me.
The whole, not just Earth, but all the planets are heating up, and it's probably heating up, Andy Lloyd thinks, because this dark star, Nemesis, is coming. So Venus is getting hotter, and Mars is getting hotter, and Earth is getting hotter. What Andy Lloyd estimates is that 85% of the increase in heat is caused by the nearing of this dark star, Nemesis, and 15% is caused by our pollution and stuff.
Well, I'd like to add that one of the things that might be happening is a terraforming of the Earth in preparation for another species to take over, because apparently one of the patterns of several extraterrestrial species is that they come in with one species and, you know, like they created the humanoids, but they develop things, you know, identifying the resources, and the humanoids and or whatever species that develops on the planet becomes a resource as well for slave trade, and they even kind of packages up as food, or they use us for the Borging process. There's all kinds of things that are coming out with the super soldiers, but this effort that's causing these climate changes may be intentional by one faction that we don't really know who they are and what their motives are, but you know, apparently they just go around and they develop real estate, kind of like they're flipping over, and you know, whoever's the biggest bidder will get the planet and the resources. It's a weird theory, but it makes sense when you think of the chemtrails and the, you know, somebody is killing this planet. The oceans are going to be dead by 2050, 2100, you know, all the, these things are predicted to be all gone, and we're going to be dead. So,
I think if that's happening, I don't think it's someone here and now doing it. I think that it was all set up in the past, that Earth is like an egg timer. And once that egg timer goes back to, let's say, the Great Flood, picture an egg timer. This is what comes to my mind, my intuition is, I think about the Great Pyramid of Giza, okay? And that is so close to true north. But I believe since we've had a polar shift, that has changed. And I believe that once that pole shifts back, and that I look at that pyramid as that big line on the egg timer, which marks true north, that is when we're going to have this cataclysmic activity to our planet, like we had with the Great Flood.
Right.
Everything
and
that's happening
one
now
potential,
is
but I think the other factor in this equation is that there are beings of light and love that love humanity, love this planet, love these species, including ourselves, people that are now inhabiting it. As soon as we get out of our victim mode and access our full abilities, and that's what you bring to mind, is that you have things like powerful intuition, and you can look at your notes, you can levitate. I'm a levitator. I levitated over my bed as a child. I have very powerful intuition. I'm O negative blood. I'm a visual learner.
Which I
believe
I'm
very creative.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, these things, We need to reactivate within, what did you say, what percentage of humans have this blood? 15%. Those who are, who love humanity, are of goodness and higher consciousness, you know, here it is, 15%, yeah. we're not all reptilians that want to kill everybody else. We're not the royals. We are maybe the bastard.
No,
I don't know what you call us, but we are out there, and we can reach critical mass and the tipping point and take back our reality and cure all the woes of this planet, including the pollution and diseases. And we just need to wake up, because once we wake up, we reactivate those 256 strands of DNA that have been turned off, and we are the gods. But everybody on the earth alive today that's got human blood has this potential as well. So anyway, go ahead. Back to you, Jamie or Sasha.
No, I don't think that there are enough of us. I think that we are by nature extremely compassionate and over-accommodating people. We want to do whatever we can to help anyone, help help the planet, help humanity. Just be kinder people. That's all within me. I don't know how to be any other way. And back to the levitating, that is my earliest memory as a child. And the only time that I believe that happened was I was a child in bed, and that I did levitate over my bed. And it's funny, because my whole life I've had this connection to levitation and gravity. I really believe that the Earth pre-flood had a great gravitational force, hence the building of megalithic structures and how they were able to move and maneuver those large stones. So I have this connection with gravity and levitate. I don't know what it is, but it's there.
Right. Sasha, you wanted to say something.
I want to go back to something that in terms of your intuition or predictions of stuff, and that is, you said that when you felt your husband was threatened, you said it was because those nuts or those extremists would attack again, and yet my research makes me think it wasn't the extremists that attacked, but that this was a false flag that was perpetrated by the government. So I'm wondering whether that was the Fox News gloss, or whether that was what your initial intuition was, that it would be the Islamists that would try it.
The second time, I don't know what it is. All I could say is that I knew it would happen again, and it did. And I knew that it would happen again by the same group of people.
Oh.
That they would be back. That these people were not going to. I knew nothing about them back then. I was young and naive and didn't watch a lot of news and was less informed, and really only heard what was going on day to day. Going to work or whatever. So this is within me. This was not pushed by any news or anything I was watching. It was what I was feeling. It was what I could feel.
What happened that day of the Twin Towers? Did your husband take a different route? What happened?
Well, this is actually kind of funny. We were both working in New York that day. So clearly, I didn't know when it was going to come, but I knew it was coming. My husband happened to, we lived in Jersey City in an apartment while we were building our home in Pennsylvania. And my husband had a golf outing that day for work. So he was delayed getting to his train. He was actually watching the news as the first tower went down. But normally,
wow.
Where do you think he would have been? Under
that path
train.
Wow.
And then I feel like he cheated death twice, because he also could have been in the city already. He had to pick up the guys for the golf outing in front of One World Trade Center. Why there?
Oh, my
never
goodness.
There except going into the subway. you know, so it's almost as if he cheated death twice. Now, me, I was up through the subway and out onto the street when I looked down Fifth, turned around and looked down Fifth Avenue, because everybody was looking. The city was completely silenced, like you've never heard. And I turned around and saw what looked like a bomb, you know, the plume, the mushroom cloud of smoke. And I thought, what the hell is going on here? And Fifth Avenue is a bird's eye view for was a bird's eye view for the Twin Towers, straight down, and you could see it down the whole length of Fifth Avenue. So I was on my way to work. And when I got to work, this is another sense that I feel that I have, is that people have lost this sense. They've been desensitized. I feel people have been desensitized, so their intuition is gone. So that's what I have that they don't have. When I got in the building for work, I immediately was ushering everyone to get together in the basement, and I was saying, you know, we need to get downstairs because this might not be the first plane flying around that's going to hit these buildings. And I'm running around grabbing fire extinguishers. And what, I kid you not, flashlights, you know, and there's some people ignoring me. And I'm saying to myself, what's wrong with these people? Like, clearly we're under attack. And this is no joke. This is very serious. And then next thing we know, because I guess there was maybe still internet access for a little bit at that time, shortly after the first plane hit. And we see that, you know, someone announces, oh, my God, the second tower was hit. And I'm, you know, there's people from my job standing outside smoking cigarettes and watching down the street. And for me, it was, no, what are you doing? This is not, you know, where's your intuition? Where is it to protect yourself? It wasn't there. So the next thing you know, you hear about a third, you know, plane crashes and so on. So I don't know where it comes from, but it's definitely some kind of natural higher power, I guess. I don't know what to call it. I'm not.
Well, you know, one thing it sounds like, Jamie, is like you're free of the time constraint of what's future and what's past and what's present. In a way, you're a time traveler when you're doing this kind of intuition or remote. Something like that. Another way.
That sounds right.
Your future self posting back to you and telling you stuff that you need to know to survive.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny things like I've always had, since I'm a child, a great fear of drowning, although I'm this great swimmer and I'm on a lake every day because I'm a rower. And, you know, as I know, it's crazy. And as I started, you know, learning more about myself in this RH factor and started learning more about ancient history, which I have really gotten into, and the Great Flood, I'm like, oh, my gosh, the Great Flood. Like, I have this connection with this, and I have this grave fear of drowning. And I really believe that there is a connection to that somehow.
Do you remember any past lives where that where you drowned?
Oof, I don't think so.
It would be interesting.
No, I'd have to give that one some thought, that if I've ever thought that, but it's a horrendous fear.
Yeah, that's a good sign that, you know, that perhaps you might think of yourself in another body, in another time and place.
Yes.
Where the flood
be
happening.
Yes. Yes, since I'm a young girl, and it's as ridiculous as it sounds, I always believed that I was like a princess or something in my past life. And as I'm learning about ancient history and all of this stuff about the Nephilim and the Anunnaki, I'm like, and then I find out I'm Rh negative, I'm like, geez, maybe there is this royal bloodline, and it's a natural, innate sense. It sounds so bizarre, but I just feel like all these dots are connecting. It's odd. It's very odd, but I believe it. I really believe it.
What was your body like when you were a princess? How big were you? What color was your skin and hair?
I have no idea.
just imagine it right now. Take a look at it. Yeah. Close your eyes and just imagine.
I don't know. I
don't know.
I don't know. I think something more Egyptian comes to mind.
Uh-huh.
If I had to, you know, think about something, I think that's what immediately would come to mind.
Yeah. I wonder how, as a person in Egypt, you would have been reacting to the coming flood. What do you imagine?
Oh, jeez. See, this is where I'm not good. Because I don't want to
make
anything
up. Yeah, that's okay.
You know, I'm tried and true. And
Well, if you make it up, where are you making it up from? It's
yeah.
it's you're accessing it. It's like you're bringing it down what's relevant to this
yeah.
here and now. So it's okay to make it up, because it's really interesting when you have people make things up. Sometimes they're just so accurate. It's like, what? How did I do that? Since you are an intuitive person, you're more likely to hit upon, you know, an accurate episode
yeah.
or fact than the person who isn't intuitive, like the one that didn't get into cover when the planes were coming. See,
the idea is to just to start with the feet and imagine that you're wearing that body and notice how you're draped and what's around you and who's around you, and something's about to happen, and then let it happen and see what pictures you get or what. And sometimes people don't get pictures at all. They just get overall impressions, or sometimes it sounds.
Yeah.
But just allow it. You don't have to do it right now over the radio particularly, but you've got a gift. You can start applying your gift in a very systematic way that gives you all kinds of information that you want.
Yeah, that's something that I don't know how to access or channel yet in that degree. I only know how to channel whatever it is I'm channeling through this pattern thing. I think that's where I would link what's
mm-hmm.
what's going on with me, you know, would be that. You know, I don't come from a past fancy family. So I was always, well, my mother too, and my father were always more than, I don't know, I wish I could explain it. I've always had very glamorous taste, and something that, you know, where is this coming from? You know, my brothers are different than me. Maybe they're not Rh negative. You know, where they were more like they didn't care about jewelry and beauty and all of these different, maybe more superficial things. But naturally, I cling to those things.
Mm-hmm.
But they're things that are not just nice things that the general public would like. They're more, like I said, more glamorous things, you know, more Hollywood-like things or
glitch.
Things of great quality.
Mm-hmm.
So
when
you
were...
maybe that goes back to that.
But you know what, it really sounds like that another thing that I'm picking up from you about this pattern thing, because that's so powerful, is that it may be the planet itself whose consciousness you're tuned into. It almost feels like planetary information that you're getting. Right.
This planet, you mean?
Yeah, Earth.
Okay.
You feel the cycle. You feel the cycles of this planet Earth. That's
yeah.
That's what I hear running through several of the things you've been saying.
Yeah, like cycles of life and the planet and predictions. Then I always wish that I could share them with a bigger source because I think that I could be helpful to that source, which sounds loony. But I feel like I have information, but I can't sit and just drum something up. One of the things I think I wrote to both of you about about all of this was the stock market, for example. I kept begging my husband for years and years and years, please, you've got to invest in the stock. You have to, Martha Stewart, you have to invest in, what was the other one? Whole Foods and just some of the really big ones, and he didn't listen to me. And every single one that I would say to invest in, hit it big, right? My husband is now like, holy promoly, she's been right every single time. Like, it's time to start listening to her. It's time to start listening to her. And all of a sudden, recently, my husband is listening to me. So I said to my husband, I would beg him to tears, you have to invest in natural gas. Now, this is years ago. This is like, 5 years ago, not that long, but at least 5 years ago. You need to invest in natural gas. I'm telling you, it's going to, and I still believe it's still going to hit it big. The other prediction that I have for the future is lithium. I told my husband, I said, please, you've got to invest in lithium. You've got to. I'm like, please, just listen to me. Just listen to me. I just know. You just have to trust my intuition. Where am I getting this from? Other than maybe the fact that I read a lot, and I think most people can't pick up the patterns that I pick up. When I see something, like I see the pattern with this space race, for example. And immediately I think of, and it just comes naturally, lithium. Oh, my God. It's in every device we use. It's in cell phones. And now we have a space race. Oh, boy, we need lithium because they're going to use lithium for everything. And then what do you think? So my husband finally buys lithium recently. And he made a killing. He made a killing on lithium, and he sold it. And now my husband, within a couple of weeks, kid you not, is a junkie on the stock market. He never invested outside of his 401k. And the funny thing is that he's in the stock market. My husband's a trader. But we never took that extra money and really invested it on our own outside of things through work and 401ks and things of that nature. So my husband – oh, so what happened with the lithium was that my husband buys this penny stock, I think it was considered. And what do you know? Maybe within a week of holding it, the Chinese buy it out, buy the company. He calls me up on the phone, holy crap. Like, you were right. Like, no joke. He's like – and I said to my answer to my husband was, keep buying it. Keep buying it. Buy whatever you can. If we can't afford a lot, who cares? Keep buying it. Buy the penny stock. Buy whatever. Because the Chinese are in race for power. This is what goes on with me here. Chinese are in race for power with the Americans right now. And they are racing us to Mars, right? They're racing us to Mars right now. And I said to my husband, that's why they bought the lithium. And they're going to buy up as much of it as they can. My husband just reinvested in another, maybe in the same company. Or no, that's gone. So he must have invested in another company. So anyway, so I don't know. There's just this gift. I don't know what it is. It's there. I think I could help people. you can't say to me, oh, what's going to happen to this? What's going to happen to that? That's not how my brain operates. It's a natural. Really, it's partly having to do with visual also. I'm an extremely visual person. I'm a visual learner. That's how I see patterns. If you try to teach me something technical that you're not writing down, you know, maybe I'll grasp half of it. But not because I'm ignorant, but because I am creating the next big thing in my head visually or whatever I have going on in my brain. It's always going. And that's another trait of Rh negative is, you know, there's high energy level. And, you know, I do better on less hours of sleep. And it's just kind of interesting. There's dozens of traits. I think I made you a good list of all of these things that I have, these what I guess I would call now qualities with the
right,
Rh
yeah.
negative. Protein. I believe they're all connected.
So I'm sitting here just Googling images on Rh negative, and you know, you talk about patterns. There's all these different patterns in the images. But I'm going to put these up on the website in just a few minutes here, and I invite you to go look at it, listeners. Let's go on. Okay, we are running out of time. Let's quickly wrap this up. We can always do another show. We've got another appointment. Okay, go ahead, Sasha, wrap up.
Really been great rapping with you and hearing some of the stuff you do. And I find you fascinating, and I know you're going to keep telling us more interesting things.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad I could finally share some of my knowledge with people. So good, and go out there and buy lithium.
Yes. Well, Jamie, I encourage you to send me further links or images or articles, and you know, I write it up. Write it up. Tell your story. I know you said something about you took these notes, and you're going to write these up. It's a good way to start the book is to do a series of articles. Any one of us out there, we are potential researchers, and we need people to research these issues, these topics. You know, this is a big question. There was one that said, if we all are related, then how is it that – oh, here it is. Let me read this real quick. If mankind evolved from the same African ancestor, then everyone's blood would be compatible, but it's not. Where did the Rh negatives come from? Why does the body of an Rh negative mother carry an Rh positive child try to reject her own offspring? Humanity isn't one race, but a hybrid species. So my question, one final question was, did your mother have, how many children did your mother have?
My mother had three children. My mother had three children, but I don't think it comes from my mother. I think it comes from my father. I think.
Okay.
I think my father's mother. When my father was born, my father always told me this story. When he told all of us this story, and nobody really gave him any credit for it. I did. I believed every word of it, but you know, my mother always downplayed it and oh no, he didn't. But my father was born, he almost died at birth. He had to have a blood transfusion, I believe from his mother, and he was jaundiced as a baby. And, okay, well, something went wrong at birth, right? That's what we all thought throughout our lives. And then once I started doing all this research on Rh negative, I, like, recently finally said, oh, my God, that's where the Rh negative comes from, because I was reading about Rh negative and they were saying that that's what happens if you don't have the Rogam shot, is that the proteins start attacking the baby turns jaundiced, they need to have an immediate blood transfusion or they die. And I said, holy cow, that was my father. So either my father's Rh negative or one of his parents is. But then I started talking to my father's sister, and she knows everybody's blood type in the family, all her brothers and sisters, and even her mother and father. And she said, my mother was O negative. She was a universal donor. I said, bingo. I guarantee you she's the Rh negative in the family. And that's kind of what I've boiled it down to.
All right, well, we've got to end now. I'm sorry, I've got an appointment. But thank you so much, Jamie, for coming on. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today. And we will come back at you another time. And much love and blessings. And aloha.
To you as well. Aloha.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.